Well, good day everyone and welcome to The Journey this week. My name is Jude Hennessy and wherever you're listening in from, I hope you're having a great weekend. I know it's a long weekend in lots of parts of the world. Well, in Australia. Certainly New South Wales where I hail from. We've had grand final fever the last couple of weeks and that's continuing today with the NRL grand final with Brisbane and Melbourne in the grand final. No New South Wales teams. A bit disappointed about that, but I'm sure it'll be a great game. Just as today's show will be a great show on The Journey. We've got some awesome people who you're going to be hearing from. We've got Deacon Josh Clayton from Mount Bathurst Way, the Bush Deacon, as we call him. I don't know if he likes us calling him that, but that's what we call him anyway. Bathurst is, it's on the edge of the bush anyway. It's starting to get a bit out in the wilderness, heading out west. Not too far away these days. He's going to talk to us about the beauty this week of how we access the scriptures through the lectionary, the 3-year cycle of readings and getting through the whole Bible. Trish McCarthy's with us too. I saw Trish show just last weekend. She hasn't changed a bit. She's just getting more like herself, which is awesome. She's going to talk to us this week about simplicity and flow and doing some simple things. Yeah, that simple decluttering in lots of ways of our life just opens us up to God. Great to have Bishop Tony Percy with us as well. He's got a reflection for us today on St. Paul's letter to Timothy, which is one of the readings set down for this Sunday. And he's going to talk to us about how to deal with being naturally hesitant and not feeling like you're the one up for the job of sharing the gospel. Those thoughts of inadequacy that we all have. Mother Hilda Scott's with us too. And she's going to talk about the fact that even our enemies are beloved by God. That's why we're called to love them. A beautiful reflection that she's called, They Are My Children Too. But to kick us off, we're going to hear from Father Rob Galea. He's going to talk to us about what it means to have mustard seed faith, because that's our reading for this week from Luke 17, verses 5 to 10, where we're told by Jesus to simply say, we are merely servants, and to embrace that. Some great music, of course, on this week's show too. We're going to be hearing from some great artists, kicking off with Jordan St. Cyr. The song Rescue features Tiffany Hudson as well. That's after we hear this week's gospel reflection from Father Rob Galea. But to kick us off, Max Norton's going to proclaim this week's gospel for us. Lots to get through in this week's show. It's the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're working our way through Luke's gospel as we move towards the season of Advent, which will be on us before we know it, that lead into Christmas. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. So glad you've joined us this week on The Journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, were your faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Which of you, with a servant ploughing or minding sheep, would say to him when he returned from the fields, come and have your meal immediately? Would he not more likely to say, get my supper laid, make yourself tidy, and wait on me while I eat and drink? You can eat and drink yourself afterwards. Must he be grateful to the servant for doing what he was told? So with you. When you have done all you have been told to do, say, we are merely servants. We have done no more than our duty. The Gospel of the Lord. And now the Gospel Reflection with Father Rob Galea.
How I wish I had more faith. How I wish I believed more. Because if I had more faith, I would trust the Lord more. If I had more faith, I would do bigger and greater things. If I had more faith, I would have more victory over sin in my life. I struggle. I'll admit this to you. I struggle. I'm a priest, but I also have my doubts. I'm a priest, but I also struggle with my faith. I'm a priest, and sometimes I struggle with the teachings of the church. Not that I disagree with them, but I struggle to understand. I struggle to trust in the wisdom of the church. But that's okay. That's okay. Sometimes we are very harsh on ourselves when it comes to faith and trusting in the Lord. Jesus says that all He wants is a little mustard seed, enough faith for us to trust and to say, Lord, I don't understand everything. I don't believe everything. I don't get everything. But you know what? This little seed I have, and it's just to tell you, Lord, I don't understand. I doubt. I struggle. I don't get it all, but if you can take this little faith and make something out of it, here I am. God doesn't expect you to be superwoman or superman. He just wants you to be willing to cooperate with Him. This is the beautiful gift that God has given us. Sometimes when we surrender, we just say, God, I don't know. I don't know, but you know what? You know, and that's enough. So when you're struggling with your faith, when you're doubting, don't despair, but just hold on to Jesus in your doubt and say, Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. This is the little mustard seed I have. This is the little I have. If you can take this and make something beautiful out of it, here it is. Here's my heart. Here's my life. Here's my faith.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Oh, I've been desperate, cried those loud prayers, like Job on his knees, saying, Lord, I need more than a little help. I've been surrounded, felt fear on all sides, like Daniel and the lions. I know when I fight, I don't fight by myself. When I needed rescue, Jesus, you came through. Oh, in my hardest season, your promise held true.
listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Now, wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
There's a great Jewish story told about the crossing of the Red Sea. You know the real story well. The Israelites have been slaves in Egypt, and finally they are set free in the most dramatic of circumstances. In this story, the waters of the Red Sea part, and while that means the Israelites can get across safely, the receding waters mean the death and obliteration of the pursuing Egyptian army. The story goes that after the event, the Israelites were, of course, jubilant, dancing and singing to their heart's content, praising God. God, however, was sitting on a rock, looking into the sea and crying. The Israelites couldn't make it out and said to him, "Why are you so sad? Look, we've been saved. The Egyptians are all dead. We're free." God simply looked at them and replied quietly, "Yes, I know, but they were my children too." We don't often think about that, do we? The very people who give us grief, who wreck our days, who are rude to us, who lie to us, etc., etc., etc. Perhaps you can think of someone as I'm speaking. Those very people are God's children too. He cries over them too. Cries over their misguidedness, their sinfulness, over the anguish that have made them who they are. You and I very easily think in terms of goodies and baddies, and sometimes tend to see life only in those terms. Listen to any conversation you like and you'll hear it. But God, on the other hand, the God who would walk over hot coals for you, He has this incredible capacity to be on all our sides. Wouldn't it make a difference if you and I could be like that too? I suspect that if we even started thinking like that once a day, you'd notice a huge shift in absolutely everything around you.
Thanks so much to Mother Hilda Scott there. Some great insights in that story that hopefully makes it easier for us to not simply divide the world into goodies and baddies, and understanding that God has the capacity to love and grieve for all people, including those who cause us harm. So thanks to Mother Hilda there with her wisdom from the Abbey segment and a piece you could this week called They Are My Children Too. Now don't forget, you can go back and listen to anything you hear on The Journey. If you like what Father Rob had to say and you want to listen to again, or Mother Hilda Scott, or any of the stuff that's ever on The Journey, all you need to do is go to jcr.org.au and you can access past shows, and you can click on the photo of the presenter that you're after. And you can listen again, you can even send the link to someone else. It's all there for free, and we love making all this content available for people, including for the 30-something or other radio stations around the country that take this show each and every week. Now, after the break, you're going to be hearing from Bishop Tony Percy. He's just back from a bit of time overseas, which is something all new bishops have got to do. He said he was heading over there to baby bishop school. And I know he's jumped back into the fray here as the auxiliary bishop in Sydney, and we're really grateful that we're going to be hearing from him again this week in his segment, The Word. And he's going to talk to us about what it means to be naturally hesitant, but how we've got to overcome it if we're going to be in the service of the Lord. More music in the meantime. Here's Nathan Fawcett, Made in Your Image. You'll also have River of Life from Mac Powell as well in the mix. And Bishop Tony, well, he's not too far away. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. So glad you've joined us this week on The Journey.
I was made by you, made in your image. I'm seated with you in heavenly places. I'm
together on the journey. Faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
There's a fountain flowing from the heart of the Savior. Bring your sins and all your guilty stains. Let that river of life wash it all away.
Now, with his weekly reflection, here's Bishop Tony Percy.
Good to remind ourselves from time to time that when we have the letters of St. Paul proclaimed for us on Sunday, and that's often the case on Sunday liturgies, and the reason is because the voice of Paul cannot remain silent in the church. He's such a significant figure, and so the second reading often comes from the letters of St. Paul. It's good to remind ourselves that in fact Paul didn't write the letters, he spoke them, and then a scribe was nominated to write down what he had spoken to the community or to the particular person that he wanted to communicate with. And those letters, in inverted commas, were then taken to the person or the community, and then they were asked to sit down, someone was nominated to read. And so when we hear them sort of proclaim, we get a sense of the power of the oral culture of the spoken word, that when a person speaks with faith, hope, and love, they're speaking the truth to us, and the love that's contained in it trying to build us up, we get a much better sense of how the spoken word is far more powerful than the written word. And of course, for our part, we have to try and dispose ourselves to not only to hear what's being said, but to receive it. And that's the most important point. We've received the gift of life. We've received the gift of grace. And that's what the Word of God is. We've got to try and receive it. So there's a potency in the words of Christ that go beyond simply the words. It's carrying himself, the force of his personality. And that's true when Paul speaks these words about the mystery of Christ. So today we have a wonderful reflection on the priesthood, on the ministerial priesthood. Many of us know priests, and we have a great love for our priests. It's a very good thing to do. And so Paul is writing to Timothy here. It's 2 Timothy, and it's chapter 1. I am reminding you, he says, to fan into a flame the gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. So Paul was older and Timothy was quite young. We think he was in his 30s, a very young bishop. It's a beautiful text, isn't it? I am reminding you, Timothy, to fan into a flame the gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. I mean, we could think, I suppose, if you like, of our confirmation as well, when the hands were laid upon us. But priests who are listening to this, and you who have a great love for priests who are listening to this, that image of the bishop laying his hands on the candidate who's about to be ordained as a priest or is being ordained as a priest is a very beautiful symbol that what the bishop had received himself, he now hands over in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm reminding you to fan into a flame the gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. So it's all within us and it's got to be fanned into a flame. Ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on us to make that flame effective for the benefit of others. Love of God and love of others. Paul continues, God's gift was not a spirit of timidity, but the spirit of power and love and self-control. So never be ashamed of witnessing to the Lord. So yeah, one gets a sense there in this spoken word of Paul talking to a younger man, encouraging him. It's very powerful reading, isn't it? It's 2 Timothy 1. So what is stated there by Paul really is that, look, this particular task that you've been given, this ministry you've been given, is beyond you. It's beyond your own natural abilities. And I think most priests, if you talk to them about their calling, will say this to you, that they felt attracted to be a priest, but they felt a certain fear because the task was way beyond their natural abilities. So they have to completely and utterly rely on the grace of God to get it done. Of course, you may say to yourself, well, look, a lot of these priests that we know, they're very talented men. They could have done a lot of different things, and that's true. But then we remind ourselves, these guys were chosen not because of their natural abilities. They were chosen rather because of their weakness. St. Paul to the Corinthians, God chooses the weak and makes them strong. It's full of wisdom, particularly for priests who are doing things day by day that are way beyond natural capacities. Think of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, the laying on of hands that it entails, and then the placing of oil. It's all way beyond the natural capacity of a priest, and yet people are seriously ill and then rise from their sickness in a very short period of time. Certainly that's been my experience as a priest. Incredible. So yes, Paul is speaking to Timothy saying, look, fan into a flame the gift that I gave you. This is not about you. It's not about your natural abilities. It's about recognizing what God has done for you. So the vocation that priests receive is the most important vocation. In the teachings of the Second Vatican Council, that is a gathering of bishops that was held in the 1960s, from 1962 to 1965, a number of major documents came out of, teaching documents came out of that particular council. One of them was on the priesthood, which made a very helpful distinction for all of us to understand the calling and the vocation of the priest. And that is that the primary responsibility of a priest is the preaching of the gospel. That is to speak the truth in love so that faith is aroused through hearing. Because if there's no preacher, if there's no preaching, then faith remains dormant. Nothing's happening. Faith is not aroused. So the primary role, that is the very first thing that a priest must do, is to preach the gospel. And that's why we should pray for our priests and encourage them, give feedback on their homilies and encourage them to keep working hard at becoming very, very fine communicators so that they benefit the whole community in arousing their faith, in deepening the faith of the parish community or the ecclesial movement that they happen to be part of. So yes, the primary role of the priest is the preaching of the gospel, but the principal role, all of this is leading to the celebration of the mystery. So once faith is aroused, that faith then is going to be celebrated in the seven sacraments, the seven mysteries, above all in the Holy Eucharist, which is the sacrament that makes present the one great sacrifice of Christ, the great act of love on the cross and resurrection. And then as a fruit of that celebration, the very body and blood, very body, blood, soul and divinity of Christ is there for our reception. So you can see that is the principal role of the priest. So that distinction is a very, very helpful one. And we can see why We need to pray for priests so that they can carry out their primary role of preaching the gospel, leading to the principal role of celebrating the mysteries and nourishing the faithful with the most beautiful, beautiful gifts that Christ has given us in the seven sacraments. So we need to pray for our priests. They need to be humble, obviously, and they need our help. There's a mutuality in the church, and when that is present, when we try and help our priests as best we can to be great proclaimers of the gospel, to be great celebrators of the sacraments, we are doing a lot of good in helping them and praying for them.
Hope you enjoyed that, and thanks so much to Bishop Tony Percy and the experience, his experience, and the experience of many of feeling inadequate, but why we need humility and help and grace to embrace the call that God puts on each of our lives. Now, I just wanted to draw your attention to a conference that's coming up in just a few weeks' time. It's called The Way of Hope. It's the National Alpha Conference. It's being held in Sydney at the Liverpool Catholic Club from the 31st of October and the next day as well, Saturday the 1st of November. And actually, in saying that, I know that Bishop Tony Percy is going to be there along with a heap of very awesome people from right around the country in this conference that's going to encourage people, fill them once again with the gifts that they need of the Holy Spirit for doing mission and for being evangelizers and breaking open how they can really get the most out of the tools that are made available by Alpha Australia. It's being done in a Catholic context, but anyone can come. It'll be heaps and heaps of Catholic parishes around the world. Regular listeners to the show would know I'm a big fan of Alpha and hugely grateful for all that they're bringing to Catholic parishes and waking them up for evangelization and encounter with the Holy Spirit. To get your ticket, and they're running out pretty quickly, just go to the Alpha website, Alpha Australia website. You can jump on there. And I'm really pleased to say that in a couple of weeks' time, I'm going to be speaking to Tanya Remack from Alpha Australia, who's going to talk to us about all the good stuff that's happening in Alpha around our country, across the churches, and a little bit about that conference too. That's going to be just a couple of weeks away. Tanya's awesome, and you'll, I'm sure, love what she's got to say. After the break, here's another awesome lady, Trish McCarthy. Hadn't seen her for a while, and I saw her at church just last weekend. It was great to see her. She's just fantastic. You can't help but smile and be joyful when you're around Trish. She's full of joy. And today she's going to talk to us about simplicity and flow. That's coming up after the break, but here's Porter's Gate first, and the song Your Labour Is Not In Vain. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. So glad you've joined us this week on The Journey.
Your labour is not in vain, though the ground underneath you is cursed and stained. Your planting and reaping are never the same. Your labour is not in vain. Your labor is not unknown, though the rocks they cry out and the sea it may groan. The place of your toil may not seem like a home, but your labor is not unknown. I am with you, for I've called you by name. Your labor is not in vain. The vineyards you plant will bear fruit. The fields will sing out and rejoice with the truth. For all that is old will at last be made new. The vineyards you plant will bear fruit. I am with you. I am with you. laughter and joy be filled. The serpent that hurts and destroys will be killed, and all that is broken be healed. I am with you, I am with you, I am with you, I am with you, for I've called you by name.
Faith, hope, love, and life. This is The Journey. And now it's time for Milk and Honey with Trish McCarthy.
One of the principles I strive to live for in my life is simplicity and flow. One way I do this is if I buy something, a book, a piece of clothing as an addition, I aim to let go of something to make room or space for this addition. If I buy a t-shirt, I try and let go of a t-shirt. I believe it's important to let go of things in order to keep things moving forward, to create space and allow new opportunities, new adventures, new gifts to come into and flow through our life. It's a little bit like playing on the monkey bars. In order to move forward or traverse, you must let go of one hand, swing through and grasp the bar in front. This letting go is what creates momentum. If we don't, we get stuck, stifled. It becomes too tiresome to hang and hold our weight in the one spot. My encouragement for you this week is to let go of something and create space for new life. It may be an act of forgiveness or releasing into the ocean or fire something you've been holding on to. It may mean a trip to the local Vinnie store or a physical release of things you've been harbouring, resentment, bitterness, guilt, pain. The joy of letting these things go in a symbolic or physical way creates space for new life, new opportunities, momentum and flow. God is the source of life, and it's a natural and physical principle that there is a lack of life in stagnant, sterile environments. So be brave. Let go.
Thanks, Trish McCarthy. We love having your stuff on the show. Milk and Honey is her segment, and she spoke to us about some pretty simple things there. Actually, it was called Simplicity and Flow. But lots of simple things. They're easy to do, but they're easy to not do as well. Thanks for the reminders, Trish, of doing some simple things to allow for the flow of God's renewing presence in the Holy Spirit. There's a couple of organisations. In fact, Trish used to work for YMT Australia. They do great work in schools and in bringing young people to an encounter with the gospel. Look forward to saying more about them later on in the year. But just wanted to bring people's attention to another organisation who we've also had a bit to do with, the Diocese of Wollongong. It's called NET, National Evangelisation Team, Australia and New Zealand. They've got an inquiry day and a retreat coming up in a place called Gerringong. And so if you're in New South Wales and you're interested in finding out about how you can enter into a year of missionary activity, perhaps a gap year if you're at university, if you're finishing school maybe, and you want to get yourself involved in something which is incredibly exciting, will certainly stretch you by being involved in NET ministries. They do work in schools, they do work in parishes, they do work in universities. Anyway, they've got a day coming up on Saturday, the 18th of October. It's going to be held in Gerringong. Beautiful church there, right overlooking the hills and the ocean there at Gerringong. You'll be seeing plenty of whales, I guarantee it, at that time of year if you get there. It's free. It's going to be lunch and afternoon tea will be provided well. And all you need to do is to contact youth@dow.org.au. Let Arnie Hadoyle know that you'd like to get along to that and hear about, and maybe be prompted by the Holy Spirit further to think about whether or not you can consider getting involved in this wonderful ministry. It's a 12-month commitment. It'll stretch you. It'll form you. It'll certainly take you in new directions in terms of your prayerfulness and stepping out in faith to boldly witness to God. Or you can just go to the Net Australia site and you can find out more about it there too. A bit of a heads up again this week for the upcoming Growing Good Men conference that's being conducted by Men Alive at the Topps Conference Centre from the 5th to the 7th of December. Got a little bit of time to register, but don't miss out. There's already strong interest in this year's program and we've got limited spots. So go to the Men Alive website to find that Growing Good Men opportunity that will be in New South Wales. And we get people coming from all over the country. We've had people fly from Darwin and Melbourne and Brisbane to come down for this particular conference. We've been running it for a few years now. I'll be there contributing to some of the talks and doing some of the music. I'd love it if you could join us. I tell you, dads and lads, fathers and sons who've been to this, the feedback we get from them is that it's a game changer for them in their relationship and journeying with each other through all that life can throw at men and young men. As I said, go to the Men Alive website and you can get the link there to sign up and get your spot for that very impactful 2.5 days that we'll be running for fathers and sons on the 5th to the 7th of December. Some more music now. Here's Need to Breathe and the song When You Forgive Someone. And after the break, to finish off the show for us, we're going to be hearing from Deacon Josh Clayton. And he's going to be talking to us about the beauty and the power and the impact of the lectionary. If you don't know what that is, keep listening. You soon will. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. We're getting near the end. Really pleased you've joined us on the journey though.
I can't let go. Maybe now it's time to cut my losses. Move on, move on, move on. Oh, I can't believe how long it's lasted. I could feel it carving up these bones.
together on the journey. Faith, hope and love for life in all its fullness.
And now, here's the Bush Deacon, Josh Clayton.
One of the things that we don't celebrate enough is a little resource that in many churches is pretty standard. It's called the lectionary. The lectionary is a resource that's been put together and put together in an ecumenical way to bring together different parts of the Bible into a system where a church, a denomination, a community can spend time reading the Bible in a systematic way that enables all of the Bible to be read. Now, not every single line, but allows the Bible in its entirety to be experienced by people. The challenge with that, though, is sometimes the lectionary gives us readings that we may not necessarily prefer. It gives us readings that challenge us. And I think the good thing about that is it gives us the whole picture of faith. It gives us the whole picture of an encounter with God, the whole picture of how we can be disciples of Jesus Christ. Not just the disciples we wish to be, not just the disciples that do the fun things or get to do the things that we like, but the things that God calls us to do. There's many heresies throughout time where people have said this is wrong or this is right. And one of the ones that sometimes comes up is us not reading the Bible in its entirety, deciding we only like these bits and we shouldn't have this bit, when in reality, God has given us the entirety of the Bible for a reason, so that we can see how God has worked throughout time, throughout salvation history, to guide, help, and love the people that are His. So for me, the lectionary, no matter the challenges it may throw at me, whether I feel okay with what it says or not, is something that is really a blessing, because it encourages me to do something I don't always do. Read the bits of the Bible that challenge me. Now I know plans such as reading a Bible in a year or all sorts of different ways of breaking open the Bible are possible. But for me, the lectionary, which again is used in many churches, the Anglican Church, the Uniting Church, and of course the Catholic Church, is a way for us to do that. So if you're hearing this word lectionary for the first time, or maybe you've probably didn't realize the lectionary was something that was used in the church you're already part of, have a look at what it is. See how it breaks open the word for each of us. It does it over 3 years. It's not quite Bible in 1 year, but it's Bible in 3 years that helps us to go deeper into the scriptures. I'm really glad that we have resources such as the Bible in 1 year and all sorts of things such as the lectionary. It helps me. I'm sure it helps you as well.
Neon lights and stained glass windows, home bar stools and back row pews. I ran to one more than the other, but I couldn't outrun you. Trying to fill up all the empty, trying to numb the pain inside, thinking you'd never forgive me for all those Saturday nights. But thank God for Sunday morning, thank God for 316 and the words it read to say you bled and gave your life for me. Thank God for the choir singing and a voice saying come back home. Saturday night looked like the end of the story, but thank God for Sunday morning.
through the stained glass window. Feels like freedom on my face. It really is a new beginning. It really is amazing grace. Thank God for Sunday morning. Thank God. Thank God for Sunday morning. Thank God for Sunday morning.
I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you learn a few things about the lectionary. A lot of churches use the lectionary to move through the cycle of readings. I learned a few things. I thought I knew most of the stuff that there was to know about the lectionary, but there's some great insights there for us from Deacon Josh, and thank you to him for his input this week, and to all of our presenters as well, Trish McCarthy and Bishop Tony Percy, Mother Hilda Scott and Father Rob Galea right at the top of the show. Thanks to Maxie Norden, who's put this week's show together and gave us a great song there to listen to round out the show. Thank God for Sunday Morning from Cochrane & Co. I've really enjoyed bringing you this week's show. I've got to be honest, I needed to hear some of those inputs today that we had from our wonderful presenters. Don't forget, you can give us some feedback by going to jcr.org.au. We love hearing from our listeners. We always reply. We always respond when we get some feedback, and we'd love to hear what you've got to say. Pretty soon we're going to have a bit of a break from our regular presenters as we dive into the Advent series. It's not too far away, Advent. Kick off at the end of November, and as we always do, we bring short little sections from our Advent and when it's leading into Easter, our Lenten programs, and we've got some great contributors this year. So you'll be getting a little bit more variety by some of our new contributors to what we're calling the Promise Advent Daily Reflections for 2025. That's actually available for order now. Don't miss out. We keep adding about another 10,000 copies every time we do a print run each Advent and each Lent, and they keep selling out, which is a wonderful problem to have. But they're on sale now. Don't miss out to get the printed version. We pretty much do them as close as we can to cost price. Daniel Hopper and the guys do amazing work in the Diocese of Wollongong getting this out. That's for individual journeying and prayerfulness leading into Christmas, and lots of people use it as a small group resource too. Just jump online and look for Diocese of Wollongong Advent and Christmas Daily Reflections leading into the beautiful season of Christmas. We will be doing it all again next week. Faith, hope, love and life. That's what this show's all about. I'm really grateful that you joined us this week on The Journey.
The Journey is presented by Jude Hennessy and produced by Max Norden on Darawal Country in the office of the Bishop for the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.